Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. This guy, Mark Leibovich. It's called Big Game, the NFL in Dangerous Times. And he has been a political reporter. He is big in Washington, D.C. And he was, Dan, was he going to do a Trump book? And then it just kind of turned into this? Or what was going on with that?
He did a book on politics in Washington before that, and then they put him on this beat, on the sports beat, and then the 2016 election happened, and those two worlds sort of collided. So he was always in the political circles, and he's written great books about that, but this, he just said it was like, wow, it was like a perfect storm.
All right, so there's part of the book that says Arthur Blank, who, of course, is the owner of the Falcons, and Robert Kraft, very a contentious relationship due to Kraft's support of Kraft's support of Trump, and Kraft tried to argue that his perspective to the Atlanta Falcons, Arthur Blank, in that he was he's not for everything that Trump was about. And then this is a quote. I mean, it's amazing how much access this guy got. This is a quote from Arthur Blank. I said, "You effer, you've given him a lot of money. You have influence and spend time with him. Robert, there are things he's saying and doing that are not great for this country and the smartest people in the world today. You know they're viewing him as a four-year mistake." And I believe there's also part in the book where it was Robert Kraft that put the Make America Great Again hat in Brady's locker. That there is some talk of that going on. Leibovich was published quotes from an old interview with Trump, in which the president said Kraft choked. This is about Deflategate. Choked, just like Mitt Romney choked during the 2012 election. And then he comes out and Kraft reads this interview and he says, "Did Trump really say I choked?" Leibovich says yes, but noted it was an interview 18 months ago, but the billionaire owner was apparently still in disbelief. "Did he really compare me to Romney?" Kraft asked, shaking his head. "It was a shock to read that." It was hardly the first time Kraft and Trump had been at odds. Earlier in the book, Leibovich reports the two had something of a year-long falling out after Trump became upset with the Patriots owner for not doing more, from Trump's point of view, to support his failed attempt to buy the Buffalo Bills in 2014. Then Kraft approached Ivanka Trump in Aspen and told her he missed his old friend. That happened in 2016. All right. Imagine that you can't buy the Buffalo Bills, but you can become president. Like, you have the money to buy
the
a
betting
team.
Process to be an NFL owner is you're going to be under more scrutiny for that than you are to be elected president.
Seriously,
it's true.
Let's say that he, and it's debatable, but let's say he had the kind of capital to purchase the Buffalo Bills. Like, they wouldn't let him do it. And now he's the president of the United States. And by the way, the owners, and it gets into it, and it's no surprise, is that the owners have totally bungled this whole national anthem thing, and they're paranoid about everything Trump's going to say and the next thing he's going to tweet. So basically what I'm getting out of these, and I've gotten some from the Boston Globe, I've gotten some from The Ringer, basically the gist of this book, outside of the Patriots stuff, and again, it says Tom Brady, according to people around him, says, you know, "I wouldn't be upset if the team just let me go so I could choose where I wanted to be." And then Gronkowski is sick of the way that Belichick does business. And again, it's like anything else in terms of that. Like, if a band's around for 30 years, 20 years, you know, there's infighting. And in football, though, you really can't get away. I mean, every year you got to be back for camp and all that. Like, a band can take a two-year hiatus. That's not possible in football. So you would imagine Brady and Belichick at some point would just get on each other's nerves. And it's telling that, and by the way, this is all happening. This Leibovich guy has talked to everyone. He had access to Goodell a bunch of times. He talked to Jerry Jones. He talked to Arthur Blank. He talked to Robert Kraft. He talked to Tom Brady. He talked to people around Brady. His father, Brady's father, is all over the book. And I'll say it again. What I love about Brady's father is that, you know, Tom's my kid, and I'll say whatever I want.
Right. And he's my kid, and I will continue to stick up for him like he's 8 years old.
Right.
Right?
Right, exactly. And there's something. It's like
it's comforting.
Yeah, he's not some world famous athlete to me. He's my kid.
Right.
And I'll say whatever I want. And you can't stop me. Right. Tom's pissed. And I'm sure there's times where Tom Jr. is saying, oh, Jesus, Dad, what the hell are you doing? Why are you saying this stuff? And that his dad's like, screw you, I raised you.
It did
happen.
Which
is I hope how I am with my kid.
It did happen during some of the Deflategate stuff. But it's interesting to see, like, you know, and how this is all going to shake down and all the people that he talked to during the Deflategate thing and whether or not, you know, Trump feels that, you know, he that Kraft bungled it. That was his assertion there that...
Yeah, that he, you know, Kraft didn't support him enough when it came time to him trying to buy the Buffalo Bills.
But he also said that he bungled something like Romney, that he pulled Romney, and that was with regard to how he handled the Deflategate thing.
Yes, Trump came out and said that compared to Romney, which apparently is the biggest... this you can take on someone.
Apparently, but you know, it's also telling from both people that looking back on it a few years now, and at the time when Robert Kraft stood up there and says, fine, we'll pay the $1 million fine and, you know, the draft picks, whatever, we'll just take this so that we can move on. Given what ended up shaking down and given how it all played out, and Tom Brady still had to serve the four games and they still had the draft picks and they still had to give up the money, doesn't that seem like the most logical and even honorable thing that was done in that whole process?
Yeah.
Was Robert finally saying after a few months, you know what, this is stupid. Fine. Here's your $1 million. Here's your draft picks. And it sucks, and it's going to hurt this team, but it's not going to hurt us to the point where we won't win the Super Bowl again and get back there another time after that. And he was proven right by that. At the time, I know a lot of people, myself included, being like, wow, he just did throw like everything under the bus by just not necessarily admitting to it, but by accepting the punishment and not fighting it anymore. But as it turns out, it was the right thing to do.
Yeah, but it was at the time it pissed off Brady. And we also, it was Robert Kraft, according to this, that put the Trump hat in Brady's locker, which I'm sure that Brady was thrilled about because he then had to be asked questions about it. And that NFL owners imitate Kraft's slow Boston accented speech delivery, and that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell has apparently taken on Kraft's cadence when quoting the Patriots owner.
Oh, no.
What do you like, hot dogs? Sliced? You like that, don't you? And then at last, we know the secret to Kraft's vitality. Organic eggs from chickens raised by the caretaker of his Brookline mansion. I eat these eggs every day, he told Leibovich. That's the reason I still have hair. And again, Kraft has given Leibovich...
Well, that's got scientific evidence to back it up.
TB12 method says organic eggs.
Backyard chickens are essentially nature's Propecia. That's how that works.
Right, except they don't sap all the testosterone out of your body. I took Propecia until the day that I read that it used to be like they said that the day you stop taking it, like all everything returns to normal. And then I read something that said, gave these examples of people that where it didn't return to normal. So then I said, oh my goodness. Organic eggs from chickens. That's why I still have hair. So these owners are, by the way, very fragile human beings with very big egos, but are very, very sensitive. So this all comes off.
Well, I think a lot of them are sensitive to how they're perceived and how the team is perceived because it's such a big business. And I think they see the writing on the wall with a lot of stuff that the league has been going through over the last few years, whether it's the rule changes, whether it's the anthem stuff, that public opinion sways a lot on this for it still being the most popular sport in this country. It's not like it hasn't suffered its share of PR problems, and I think there's
that's why they granted him access.
What you might see as like personal sensitivity, I think they're sensitive to how everything is perceived for the bottom line, aspect of
all
this. Well,
that's why he thinks that they all granted him access is because they thought that they could, you know, put a good face on the NFL. But he said the problem with that is the owners all stab each other in the back. Except for Woody Johnson, who he describes as like a three-year-old who specializes in bad quarterbacks, collects trains in bad quarterbacks.
In a non-political sense, I kind of would just take his presidency out of it, but knowing how sensitive Donald Trump is about a number of things and you describing
and how he
the
holds
way
a
you
grudge.
Are, I think if he had somehow been able to be cleared to purchase the Buffalo Bills, the NFL would be a far better place. It'd be a lot more fun to pay attention to.
Oh, yeah. Trump would be fantastic.
Oh, my God, he would have been great.
Oh, it would have been great.
He would have been all of this times about a billion.
Could you imagine all the crap he would have said about Buffalo?
Oh, my God, stuff about Buffalo. Rule changes. You know, these guys clearly cheated. Oh, it would have been great. Oh,
Trump would have crapped on Buffalo so much.
And
he would, when they said you can't move the team, he would have gone crazy.
Oh.
And then the people in Buffalo would have gotten all upset.
And he wouldn't have cared. It would have been great.
Of course he wouldn't care. Oh, it would be the greatest thing ever.
He would have taken the team out of there in 4 seconds.
No, but they would have. The funny thing is
they wouldn't have let him go, and then he would have raised hell in New York at some meeting with everyone else in the room.
Yeah, and you know,
he
would
awesome.
Publicly come out and say what a crappy city Buffalo was.
Oh.
He would publicly come out and go, I can't make a profit here. This sucks.
And the NFL is dying.
Yes.
Yeah.
And no one's going to watch this.
Yeah.
Oh, it would have been awesome for him to be an owner of an NFL team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just take his state of mind now and the things he's doing and just put it instead of president as NFL owner.
18 months into being an NFL owner as opposed to 18 months into being president.
Oh.
This has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with fun to follow this league with Donald Trump in it.
Well, it's going to be like,
great.
It would be like when he was in the primaries and he was just saying all this crazy stuff.
Yeah, put it this way, it would have come down to like the ownership process and the voting, and he would have insulted all the people that didn't want to vote for him and, you know, dug up all the bad stuff. You know, he was emailing hookers and it would have been awesome.
Yeah, he's a garbage businessman.
Oh, my God, he knows nothing about this. He was, you know, his father gave him the organization.
Well,
and
he can't really say that.
No, what I'm saying
is kind of
saying.
A glass house right there.
Yeah, no, that's true.
All right, Jeff Passan is going to join us. John had some stuff yesterday about how the attendance for Major League games is way down. We'll talk a little bit about that. There are no sports minutes anymore on this show. No more sports minutes. So everyone applaud that. We'll be right back.
98.5. Toucher and Rich.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Jeff Passan writes for Yahoo Sports. I'm actually reading the book The Arm, which is interesting because there was just a kid that played in the Japanese like high school championship series, and he threw something like 760 pitches over the course of a week or something like
that. Is that they have that high school championship. Daisuke Matsuzaka gained fame by throwing hundreds of pitches in that tournament, too, if I remember right.
Jeff Passan, hello, sir.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for reading the book. I appreciate it.
And you know what? It was recommended by a friend of mine. We both have kids that play baseball, and it is amazing. What is the feeling, just for the people out there, you know, in Japan where they let kids go and throw like that? What is the feeling medically? Are people over reacting to that, or is it pretty on the money?
You know, I think that half of Japan is absolutely horrified by it, and the other half absolutely glorifies it. And I'm really not trying to make terrible rhymes this early in the morning. That just sort of came out. But you have to understand, the high school baseball tournament there called Koshien, the best way to describe it is like a combination of the Super Bowl and the NCAA tournament. Like, it is the biggest sporting event in Japan every year. They go nuts for high school baseball. And you have these teams that practice, and I swear to God, this is not an exaggeration, 360 days a year. Wow. Every single day of the week, except for the week of Christmas through New Year's, they will practice. And it's stunning the rigors that they put some of these kids through, all to get to this moment where they just have one pitcher. It's like they have their ace and they ride him. And in, you know, in some cases it ends up making heroes like Daisuke Matsuzaka, who forever will be remembered in Japan, not for what he did, guys, in the Japanese league, not for what he did with the Red Sox winning a championship. No, for what he did in the high school baseball tournament. He is named after a guy named Daisuke Araki, who between 1979 and 1981 was a high school pitcher who was in the tournament every year. And there's a generation of kids born between 1979 and 1981 in Japan who are named Daisuke after this kid who was 15 and 16 and 17 at the time.
Well, it's funny because if you talk to any baseball coach of any prominence, they'll tell you that it's very important to play other sports and you need time off from baseball. And actually, mm-hmm. you know, playing other sports helps you and you don't, you know, wear down those muscles. Does that hurt the kids out of Japan coming out as they go on to play as adults?
Oh, very much so. Except they don't see it that way, because it is true. Most of the time, Japanese pitchers' mechanics and the way that they move are better than the typical American pitcher because they have spent so much time honing them. But the problem is you can't combine those good movement patterns with excessive usage. The body is just not meant to throw as much as it does. Throwing is not an unnatural motion. That's actually a fallacy. Throwing is a very natural motion. But throwing 100 times at maximum velocity and intent every 5 days, that's not particularly natural. And doing so as frequently as pitchers do in Japan just as simply dangerous. And I think more and more younger coaches there are beginning to recognize this. And we see it manifest itself when Japanese pitchers, whether it's Yu Darvish, Daisuke Matsuzaka, Shohei Ohtani, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, come here and end up needing Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So pick up the arm, especially if you have a son or a daughter that's playing softball or baseball. Pick it up because it's fascinating. And it's also fascinating if you're a Major League Baseball fan, on what these guys will go through medically and how much things have changed medically to get back out on the field. So that is a recommendation from me, Jeff. Thank you. Now, Jeff, you talk about the attendance and how it's going down in Major League Baseball. I have different feelings about this. One, the league is so top-heavy, and, you know, a team like the Marlins is insulting their fan base. So how much of that is a factor, or is it just the game is getting less popular and people aren't going?
I think there's a number of factors, and the confluence of all of them is leading to this. And mind you, baseball's still drawing close to 70 million people this year. Like, it's not bad. You know, the sport's not dying, but it's down almost 10 million from its peak of 79 million. And I think that's attributable to a few things. Absolutely, unquestionably, the top heaviness is a problem, because when you look at the teams that have dipped the most year over year, the Marlins are a joke. They're also actually reporting real attendance figures this year. You know, Jeffrey Loria used to inflate those. So they're at like 10,000 a game.
Yeah.
But Toronto went out and spent $15 million on Jaime Garcia and Curtis Granderson this offseason, haven't called up Vladimir Guerrero Jr. They're down more than 10,000 a game. Kansas City, I live in Kansas City. If you had to watch the Royals every night and didn't claw your eyes out, you are a better man than I. They have just been brutal. The Tigers stink, down 6,000 plus. Pittsburgh doesn't try. They literally didn't spend a dollar in major league free agency this offseason, down 5,000. The Orioles are a tire fire, down 5,000. The Rangers, down 5,000. What do these all have in common? They're all not good teams. And I understand it's like, of course, Jeff, if you're losing, you're not going to draw. But the anti-competitiveness in baseball these days, I think, is a huge thing. You guys have it a little different in Boston, though, because the Red Sox more or less are selling out every game, or at least drawing, you know, pretty close to sellout crowds. And the secondary market in Boston is still pretty good. It's not like some of these other places where it's collapsed to the point where you can get in the park for $5 or $10. But I think the factor of baseball seeming like it is expensive, and in many cases being expensive, if you want to drink two beers, having to shell out $20, $25 and a hot dog for $7 or $8 and a water on a blazing hot day for $5 or $6 or $7, the sticker shock gets to you, and it ends up breeding this generation of people who say, I have a great TV, I can get water for 25 cents or free out of the tap if I really want to, I can get a six pack of beer for $7 or $8, why the hell would I go to the stadium?
Jeff, how much does the path of the Houston Astros really damage what Major League Baseball is trying to accomplish? The Astros were really god-awful. They paid nobody for how long? 5 years? Until their farm system got stocked well enough to produce what they have now? And other teams look at that and go, oh, okay, we really have to get bad, get a bunch of good draft picks, and then wait for them. So that fans don't go to the ballpark to watch this, and therefore attendance is down.
I'll tell you, though, I think even more than that is the Rays. And look, if I said this in my column, if they could condemn Tropicana Field tomorrow, I don't think anybody out there would be lamenting its loss. I don't know if you guys have ever seen a game there. If you haven't, don't. It is not a fun place to watch a game. But what the Rays are doing, I mean, at least the Astros this year, opening day payroll was almost $175 million. Like, I'm not by any means saying what they did and the way they did it with their $20 million payrolls. Some years they had a payroll lower than A-Rod himself. Like, those are not okay, especially in a sport where you are making, even if you're not drawing, you're making obscene amounts of money on shared monies from television contracts and Major League Baseball advanced media and all sorts of other revenue streams. But what the Rays are doing is they're building up. They have probably the second best farm system in baseball right now behind San Diego. And they're doing this with a $50 million or so payroll at this point, which is pretty incredible, because I'll tell you what, you guys saw this. They're a good team, and they are going to be much, and I mean much better, starting next year and in the few years after that. This is going to be hearkening back to 10 years ago when Tampa Bay is right up there with the Yankees and the Red Sox at the top of the division.
Right. Well, so you just have to be patient and, you know, wait through the cycles if you're in a market
like that. You know what, though? Here's part of the problem, guys. And I say this, I grew up in Cleveland, so, you know, smaller market. I live in Kansas City now, smaller market. What Major League Baseball has done to take away the creativity from some of these teams financially, I think forces them to do things like what the Rays are doing right now. It used to be that if you didn't want to spend money on Major League payroll, you could at least devote it to, like, international amateur signings. You know, San Diego a couple of years ago spent upward of $75 million on international amateurs in 1 year. Well, now you are restricted, you are capped. Even if you trade for international space, the most you can spend is $10 or $11 million. In the draft, if you go over your slots, then you end up paying a penalty where you give up draft picks in the future. Nobody wants to do that, so that's essentially a soft cap on it. So if you can't spend internationally, and if you can't spend domestically on amateurs, and if no one's spending on free agents, because free agency is a bad market and you don't want to give guys money late into their 30s, where exactly can you spend, or how exactly do you spend? The kind of thing that gives the Boston Red Sox of the world a giant advantage, because they actually can and will spend on Major League free agents.
So, Jeff, just in terms of the overall long-term health of the sport, you mentioned the TV contracts and the other revenue streams. Are teams getting less and less concerned with attendance? I know in the NFL, with the teams in L.A., they don't care if people go to those games or not, because the TV contract is where they're going to make all their money. Do you see a shift toward that type of thinking in Major League Baseball?
Well, the problem with that thinking in MLB is that the national television contract isn't anything close to what the NFL has. Like, the NFL is a league that is essentially a television contract. MLB, though, the centralized revenue from that national deal just isn't the same, because who the hell watches baseball nationally anymore? I mean, we've seen ratings, you know, plummet over the last 15 or 20 years in baseball. The average baseball fan is like a 58-year-old white guy, and frankly, there are plenty of those in this country, but they're becoming less and less of a factor in terms of who you want watching on TV. And yet the local revenues are still really strong, because baseball has turned into such a parochial sport. I mean, baseball is a local sport now. And it's weird to think, you know, the national pastime going local like that, that's where the health of the game is at this point. People still are going to the stadium. People still are watching the game on TV. But the fact that you have this competitive imbalance of sorts, the fact that you have anti-competitiveness in some cases, the fact that the game itself, while played by, for my money, better players than you've ever seen before, better athletes than you've ever seen before, has slowed down to this 3-hour, 5-minute slog where balls aren't being put in play. That is a big issue. And all of these things combined with the fact that it costs a lot of money to go to a stadium, and that people don't, you know, people associate baseball with costing a lot of money. And that youth participation, while up in younger levels, really peters out when kids get around to teenage years. And that baseball in some ways has turned into a country club sport where it's total pay for play to go anywhere beyond high school. I mean, yeah. All of these things are issues that baseball is facing right now, and they make Rob Manfred's commissionership very complicated.
All right, Jeff Passan, good stuff. Again, the book's called The Arm. You can read them at Yahoo. Thanks so much.
Pleasure's mine, boys. Thanks for having me.
All right, appreciate it. He was DA's roommate, you said?
I think he roomed with DA at Syracuse, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
I think so.
Ooh, to ignore the mirror on my shoe. I'm up to no harm.
DA, what's going on in here? What the hell did you put on the floor?
Spaghetti.
What? Why?
Young lady coming over.
What? Jesus.
I wanted to step in the spaghetti.
You wanted her to do it or you to do it?
I want a lady and tramp with her foot.
Ah.
I'll put this piece in between your big toe, and I'll put this piece in my mouth, and zoop. Ooh, look.
Damon, I told you my girlfriend is staying here this weekend. Could you get the video camera off the floor of the shower, please?
No.
Jeff, I'm missing a shoe. Does anyone know where that shoe is?
Don't look in my pillowcase.
It's my shoe. It's mine.
Makes no difference. Excuse me, I have to have Foot Locker to attend. Ooh, an athletic sock. Lightly worn. Thank you.
All right.
Any excuse.
Any excuse.
Fine.
Hey, what the hell? You pull over. What are you wearing on your head?
Stocking.
Why? What the?
You're going to rob a bank?
You're
going to
rob a bank? No. No.
All right. We'll be back.
Reading in the school paper, the School of Podiatry is missing a bunch of textbooks again.
I don't want to know how they make the sausage. I just want to enjoy it.
All right.
Bunions? I don't. Corns, bunions? Color me delighted.
Like sprinkles on an ice cream cone.
Ooh, speaking of which, would you mind stepping on this ice cream cone?
All right. Here are the headlines.
Stay tuned for Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich and Hardy and John. If I told you, I was listening to Joe Rogan. He had on as a guest a man by the name of Henry Rollins. And Henry Rollins, self-described, doesn't have a lot of what he would call friends.
Yeah.
Very isolated person.
Yeah.
And he says he has one friend that, one true friend, he believes. Would anyone care to guess who that one friend is?
Henry Rollins has one friend, Al Pacino. They became fast friends on the set of Heat.
I have never seen Heat.
It's long.
Yeah. So Heat's not that good.
Long.
Because
it's not. There's one or two scenes I think that are decent, but overall I didn't like it that much.
Okay. 3-hour situation?
Yeah. And for having De Niro and Pacino like on the screen for the first time ever,
yeah,
it was.
There's that one famous interchange between the two of them. What if I got you boxed in?
It's not even like fireworks. It's not even that good of a scene. It's just okay.
Val Kilmer, right?
Yeah.
Val Kilmer,
but it's Michael Mann, and I like his movies, so I'll watch it.
I'm trying to.
This is horrible.
I finally allowed myself that one afternoon a week. I will allow myself to watch a movie because I can't. At night, because the kids are awake, and then I got to go to bed not long after the kids. And then I've always felt like I was wasting time, but I'm like, what else am I doing?
Did you take my movie suggestion while you're on vacation?
I bought it, but I never saw it.
Oh.
Because something always came up. Yeah. But I own it. It isn't. I will watch it over Christmas. There's no doubt about that. But if I wanted to watch a movie that my wife and children would not watch, my wife likes things like poo. No, my wife likes like Mamma Mia. So yeah, we're on different pages. Yeah. Like my wife thinks like Seinfeld's too cerebral. So what would you suggest?
For a movie, just a movie to watch this week?
Yeah, like in the afternoon, yeah.
Go watch the movie, watch Hell or High Water. That's a really good movie.
All right, and that's available. What is it?
You said you bought it.
I did, but I don't own it at home. I have it in Tennessee.
Oh, you don't have access? You bought it like on a DVD or something?
My parents can't figure out how to get Apple TV or get any kind of internet access for anything. And if I touch anything, they immediately flip out. Because my mother had an iPhone 1, and she's like, and I'm like, just get Google Maps. And she's like, ay. So I downloaded Google Maps. After she didn't know her password, it took like days. So I finally downloaded Google Maps, and basically the phone exploded. The phone was like one. Like byte, not even a megabyte. It was just like one. Like it was so old, it couldn't handle Google Maps.
You have Xfinity?
No.
Oh, I can't help you.
I got D to the D.
Well, who is Henry Rollins' only friend? I'm waiting,
oh yeah.
Waiting
what,
for
oh
the
my
answer.
God. Yeah.
What the hell?
William Shatner.
Really? How about that?
William Shatner, who has a Christmas album coming out this fall. In Jingle Bells, I just looked at it. Jingle Bells featuring Henry Rollins. Leads things off.
Huh.
Henry Rollins plays what 90s rapper in the...
Vanilla Ice.
Video for Pop Goes the Weasel.
Vanilla
third
Ice.
Base.
Is that him?
That's Henry Rollins dressed up
as Vanilla
Ice.
I've seen it.
Didn't even need you to get
very
through good. The question.
There's one thing I have for the stack today, by the way, that we need to get to.
All right, get to it now.
I killed a snake yesterday.
What kind of snake?
Black and yellow.
Black and yellow. All right, so you killed the snake. How did you do that?
With the lawnmower.
Now, did you do it on purpose?
Nope.
Did you drink the blood of it for its vitality?
Of course.
All right, so you've got snakes in your yard.
Yes.
Hmm. Now, were you aware of this before you ran over the snake?
Kids saw one last week, and I thought it was an isolated incident. I was mowing the yard yesterday, heard a thwomp. And I go past, and I'm like, oh, what was that, like a frog or something? What did I hit? And then I go to empty the clippings, and a bunch of snake guts in the bag.
What, do you live in a jungle? There's frogs? It's like the...
Frogs, snakes.
The
there were
times.
Four deer standing in the backyard last week.
What the hell? What, you live on acres and acres of land?
Compound. That's right. The new Hardy compound.
So there's just four deer. You can't have those deers around.
Why not?
A, they'll throw a fit. In B,
they do. If you've never seen a deer throw a tantrum,
are you breaking up their cocktail party?
Insufferable.
I mean, what's the problem?
No, plus they have ticks. that give you that Lyme disease.
That's true.
Chicks are a problem.
All right, so there was at my parent where my parents live, there's a driving range, and there was this little tiny baby deer that would come up, and people started feeding it and feeding it. And then as it got older, it got crazy aggressive. And, like, would just, like, go up and, like, nudge you and, like, want food. And it was a big problem, and it wouldn't leave. You couldn't let it get it to leave you alone because, after all, they are beasts. So they had to concoct some massive plan to get it out of there.
They got hooves.
Oh, yeah. They kick one of them hooves up. You lose a testicle.
Ruin your whole day.
You're losing a testy. Yeah, those things are wild animals. So, well, you know how they solved the problem?
I don't know. They were skittish. They ran off as soon as my son
45 right to the side of the head. Said, see you later.
Yep.
Venison's on me. I don't know how they got out of there. They didn't kill it, but they had to figure out, which is odd because there's hunting all around there for deer. But no, they got rid of it in another fashion, but it required harnesses and big
lassos.
Automobiles. Yeah, there was a gentleman on a horse.
Choppers.
Oh, yeah. They picked it up Dumbo style. They did the whole nine. You can't feed them deer. You know that much.
No, I wouldn't feed a deer.
Yeah, but you get one of your kids out there, they start feeding the deer. The next thing you know, you think it's cute that it came back down. It won't leave your lawn. You go up there, it wants apples.
Is that what they want?
Yeah, they want an apple.
So
they're
like horses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're equestrian.
Well, they're not. They haven't been back.
Okay.
So I'm not worried about it.
Probably some jabroni neighbor fed it.
I don't think so.
So you killed a snake. Tell me you killed a deer, and now we're talking the situation.
So gross.
You ran over one with your lawnmower.
Well, it was a baby deer.
Oh, that's not nice. You know, my friend, my fraternity brother, his grandfather lived in the Keys, and he had a donkey. And what he would do on the weekends is
I don't want to hear it. Down in the Keys, the things they do with donkeys.
Yeah, the Keys
got nothing on Tijuana.
Are really remote now. What he would do is he would get in his backyard and he would drink beer with the donkey.
And the donkey would drink beer with him.
You take the can, the donkey would bite the can and then throw it back and then eat the can. So he would go beer for beer with the donkey.
Seems like a waste of beer.
He liked the donkey was his friend. So him and the donkey would get drunk together.
Stupid. Of course that's what's problem was going on.
If you had a donkey, if you had a donkey and you knew that it would drink beer with you, you wouldn't drink beer with it?
I don't know that the beer affects the donkey in the same way. The whole point of drinking beer with someone is you kind of get to the same place at the same time. I don't think the donkey is getting there with you.
No, but if it is cool, you got a donkey friend that just chugs beer.
You could accomplish the same thing by giving the donkey water.
Yeah, but it's not beer. See, the whole point is I'm hanging out with the donkey, then it eats the can, and everyone has a good laugh. All right, you don't get to picking your mom up from the airport, but you won't go drinking with a donkey.
You can use those empty cans to make meth.
Now, how do you make meth out of empty cans?
I don't know. I read it once in an article. Something about Sudafed and empty beer cans. And once you empty a beer can, you just chuck it right there in the pot where you're cooking the meth.
Well, that sounds healthy.
Well, that's...
I think that some of this meth stuff not on the level.
Some of the thing meth might be a bad idea.
Well, I'm thinking it's not on the level. Is that you're expecting something and then you get something else? By the way, John Goodman thinks that The Conners, the new show that is not on because Roseanne tweeted on Ambien, which what kind of idiot
would do on Ambien?
Do that, yeah.
He says they're going to kill off Roseanne, which is interesting because they killed off John Goodman when Roseanne ended.
Yeah.
So now they're just solving all their problems by killing people off.
This is a look back, though. This is a look back at. I don't know. That doesn't anyway.
It was a look back at the
ass. Because she was alive at the end and he wasn't. So, yeah, that's a good point. You can't look back.
And everything about winning the lottery was all just a fictional story that she was writing at the time.
Yeah.
So Johnny G.
None of this works.
Johnny G wasn't part of it. All right. We got to get out of here. By the way, listen to the 98.5 The Sports Hub app and take us everywhere you go. Also, listen at home or in your office. On your smart speaker, just say play 98.5 The Sports Hub. Do we have Ass Man?
Oh, yeah. We're getting out right now.
Yeah.
I'm an ass man.
See you tomorrow, Hardy.
That's right.
I'm an ass man.
Hardy back in here tomorrow, Fred.
Again, I just need one thing from you. Just one thing from you
again?
Tomorrow.
I'll give you one thing today. Ended up being like three things.
All right. Yeah, but that's because... You're with Elastic Man. I could stretch him.
All right. One thing. I'll come up with something.
Wallach, you just do what you normally do.
Take it easy for tomorrow, Wallach.
Okay. Just don't bring anything to the table.
Show up and read the scores.
Okay. Just make sure you're rested.
Fair enough.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it for us. Zolak and Bertrand are in next. Bye.